Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm Conrad and with me is Joel.
Hello mate, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Getting on.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about Guild Ball. Now, we've had Matt and Loxham on previous episodes prior to the Kickstarter, but whilst we were at SmogCon, they were actually doing some demonstrations of the Guild Ball game, certainly the mechanics, and as well as that, they had some of the early miniatures there, the Butcher Captain and the Fisherman Captain. But you were lucky enough, Joel, I believe, to get, whilst I was working hard and sitting down a lot, you managed to get some first-hand experience of actually playing the game.
I did. I managed to get some table time with it against Mr. Doxy with some of Matt's supervision. And although we sort of started doing what was a demo, Matt and Oxham had to depart a few minutes in to do their to do a presentation, I believe, on it, which allowed myself and James to pour through the rules for ourselves and have our own little game and figure things out for ourselves, which is, to be honest, the way I like to learn things. So it turned out to be a really valuable experience.
Yes, Matt was holding a seminar in the main hotel area, and I remember being told that he better get on over there because the room that they were using was getting filled up with people waiting to hear. But I do have a vivid memory of you and James pouring through the rules to try and figure stuff out in terms of whilst you were playing after being given the initial spiel, and you both seemed very engrossed with it. So, I mean, I reckon you were probably playing for a good 30 minutes, if not more.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I think you played to what's it, three? I think you have to score three goals in the game, don't you, to close it off at the moment. So, what were your thoughts?
Well, a couple ones initially. First of all, the teams themselves that they had out there, they had the Butchers and the Fishermen being represented on the table. And I got to play the Butchers and James got to play the Fishermen. It's that even though they've got very different styles, they both felt very balanced. It was quite obvious who the players sort of were. And you could see by looking at them what their sort of skills and strengths would be. It's fairly obvious to spit on the big beater and the fast guy. And, you know, probably someone who might be a bit better handling the ball. And the leaders were quite obvious to stick out. And both teams, although they were doing things very differently, the balance was certainly seemed to be there in what we were doing. Neither myself nor James felt we had a huge upper hand in what was going on.
And did the teams have a unique feel to them as such as well?
Oh yeah, the Butchers were, which I was playing, were very much about getting stuck in and not so much about passing the ball as trying to pass parts of the opponent's body around the field. We get stuck in and put the old boot in a kind of Vinnie Jones kind of way. As well, the Fishermen had lots of tricks to do with mobility and bouncing around and being able to be a bit more fluid on the tabletop. And these two styles contrasted quite nicely as well.
But still allowed you to gain momentum points and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The two mechanics that absorbed me most with the game were influence and momentum.
Yeah.
I know they've talked about this on the Fool's Daily before, but these both give you a way of giving your characters actions, which is the influence, to give them things they can do and how you're going to decide who's going to do what and who's going to do how much. And momentum is sort of reaction and initiative and a sort of resource you can start building up by using these actions.
Yeah.
And the Fishermen were building that up by passing the ball around, which is something they were good at doing. And I was building up by hitting things. Repeatedly, but in some cases.
At the moment, I believe that there is a downside to building momentum up because it goes against your initiative roll for the next turn.
No, actually, it actually benefits it.
Oh, it benefits it. Okay.
Yeah, the more momentum you can spend momentum during your turn, to try and resist incoming damage, or try and dodge, or try and do something extra. As your opponent tries to do things to you, you can maybe move away or go defensive. And that costs you momentum. So you can spend it to try and save yourself this turn, but if you manage to hoard it for the next turn, you get a chance to boost your initiative then.
Oh, okay. So
so it's a trade-off. Do you use it now, or do you need to save it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the two mechanics, the influence and the momentum, play very nicely off each other. And I could see teams that could play around with that, which I believe something the Morticians are focused at doing, could be very interesting to do. They'd be playing almost a second game on top of the first, which would
By manipulating that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So there's so you've got another level to the game as such.
Mm. That was the key thing I took away from it was, although there was a miniatures game and there was movements around the field, there's also lots of tactical things you can try and keep your mind on to try and get the most out of what you're doing. Yeah. If you just try and go and focus on one thing, like trying to just score a goal, there will be things you miss unless you're paying attention.
But that's a sign of a good game as well, isn't it? Oh, having these levels.
Yeah. And it's something that was myself and James both commented on as something that being something that really interested in playing.
Yeah.
What I found interesting is that when myself and James played it, although we played to three goals, I think we ended up 3-1 to James, as I just missed getting my second one in. we didn't actually manage to kill any of each other's models on the pitch. We were damaging and some of them getting quite badly wounded. But we were being quite tactical in where we were making our attacks. We were doing attacks to use special effects to disable opponents or remove their influence and things like this. Rather than kill, we were simply maiming lightly for tactical advantage.
So that was, that sounds as though you're trying to get some sort of advantage, whether, you know, in terms of position, game board position or activation wise, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and I think we're both bringing our Maui for background into that. as well, the demo just before us had been two War Machine Horde players, and apparently there's only about two models left on the field.
Oh, so they've been smashing the hell out of each other.
Yeah, yeah, they've kind of gone for it. Which would be interesting to see a Marifor player against a War Machine player in Guild Ball. I'd really like to have that matchup.
But I mean, that also, you know, when I first started playing Malifaux, and even, you know, Horde's War Machine to a certain extent as well, or basically not fantasy, the game, how you win the game isn't the same, you know. So, and I like these sorts of newer games that are coming out where you've got different levels of trying to win the game or achieve or helping to win the game. You know, with Malifaux, it's obviously the schemes and strategies, and it's not necessarily about wiping your opponent off the board. With Hordes and War Machine, it's about, you know, scenario as well as the obligatory cast to kill there as well, which is always, you know, like a binary sort of win condition. But you've got this level, this multi-level sort of game, and they're also talking about having additional layers of the guilds having some sort of subplots. So they're talking about similar sort of things like schemes and strategies being available for the various guilds and the teams sort of thing.
Yeah, because that'd be a wonderful addition to the game, because the game runs on a three-goal scoring clock.
Yeah.
Could it be something you try to make sure you kept possession of the ball but kept it away from the opponent so you have more time to complete a scheme?
Yep.
Rather than trying to score goals, or would you be trying to score goals so that your opponent can't get to their schemes and strategy points? There's a whole different counterplay in there. The other thing I really liked about it is how fast and fluid it was to actually get a grasp on the rules once we started. It's got to be said, it was very, very easy, once the initial mechanics were explained, to just pick it up and start seeing how we could use some of these things tactically, and when you'd spend momentum and the kind of when you'd use a special ability as opposed to doing damage. And the actual, you know, mechanics of rolling a pool of dice and subtracting things from it was very, very straightforward.
Yeah, and it also seemed intuitive as well, you know?
It was, yeah. It just naturally seemed to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, what about the sort of movement and stuff like that? You know, was that easy to just get a hold of in terms of, like, the positional play and moving, you know, moving stuff around and using the momentum and influence sort of stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the models have a walk they can take for free, and they can spend an influence to run, but they can only move once in each turn. So you've got to think where you'd like them to be this turn, where you might want them to be next turn, and whether you're prepared to give up some influence to do that, or would you like them to move and then make it, do something else with their influence? It allows you to bluff with where you put your influence as well. My opponent might think you're going to run with that model and said you're going to do that with someone else. So the movement around was quite straightforward. Although you could see with some of the tricks the fishermen could pull off, how interesting they could be in the hands of someone who really gets to know them. Because they can spend an influence point to effectively teleport 5 inches.
Nice.
Which is, that can be quite, you know, they can bamf around the board a little bit.
Guess what I've bought? Guess which team I've bought?
Yeah, I kind of gone for all four, it must be said. I was only, before the demo, I was in for two teams.
Yeah.
I thought I'd split that with the people at the club, and we'd all have a team, and maybe we could share teams up. We'd just play around, and it'd be a nice little game. I played the demo through, and sort of learnt a bit of the drills and took time with it with James, and I'm hooked in for four teams at this point. this is a seriously interesting game. It's similar to the way that Malifaux came along and grabbed my interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of how it was doing things differently and how it was being fun and characterful with at the same time being intuitive and deep. I can see the similar kind of concepts coming across in Guild Ball.
Yeah.
Not that it's a similar game to Malifaux at all, and it won't be replacing my Malifaux, but I can certainly see this being my second game.
I mean, I was talking to Matt Hart and various other people, and I think one of the things that we want at the moment, because the hobby is quite time intensive, essentially what will you, and this is why board games, you know, compact board games, when I say compact, I mean compact in time spent playing and having and enjoying that board game. Compact tabletop games are something that we need more of because it allows you to have multiple games in a given time slot, you know, whether it's down the club or a club or of an evening, or it just basically allows you to invest a limited amount of time if you just want the one game and then move on to something else. So this sort of concept of these compact tabletop games, I think, is something that will appeal to more and more people. Add to that the low figure count, but that's, you know, for me, that's always a dangerous thing to say because there is no such thing as low figure count in my book. And the quality of those model sculpts that we saw there, I know they'd been printed in dental resin, I believe, which is like the highest quality resin that will take the detail, but they were very, very detailed and they looked really, really nice as well. So I'm imagining that the rest of the stuff that Russ does, because Russ Charles is sculpting for them, are going to look just as good.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I'm really happy about this being this compact. I want to call it a compact tabletop game or compact skirmish war game, as it were.
Yes, yeah.
That it's not on a board. That it's not got the linearity and the sort of resetting qualities of something like Blood Bowl. This doesn't feel like a board game that's trying to be a war game. This feels like its own skirmish game in itself.
Yep.
And for that, I'm very thankful.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of terrain on the demo because I believe they're still working on the terrain rules, but terrain is going to be something it's part of it and will add an element of, you know, getting in the way type thing or having to cope with. So, and I'm looking forward to that. But I was watching a Twitch TV broadcast that they did this week, and they went through the mechanics at that point, and it seemed to be quite straightforward, quite elegant, and with the ability to... do you know what I really enjoyed? The snap two rule. What a simple, elegant thing that is. You throw the ball or kick the ball at somebody, and if it lands, was it within an inch of the target, it snaps to something. It's just very, very simple. And I think...
So keeping track of things like the ball is just not a problem.
Yes, yeah. And it takes elements of, you know, I don't know, computer games or, you know, just computer tools that you use where you snap to stuff. And it's very simple, but it's really elegant as well, I think.
I think that's our time, isn't it?
I think so, yep. So thank you very much, Joel. I've been Conrad.
And I've been Joel.
Goodbye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.